Afternoon, Mayor, City Council. The City of Sausalito City Council meeting is being held here at 420 Litho Street, Sausalito, California, at Council Chambers. It is also being held live on Cable TV Channel 27, and it's also on Zoom and on the city's website. And one more, yeah, sorry, forgot the address. I'll pop it up. Sorry.
209 East Road, Alton Bay, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, City Clerk. I will call the meeting to order at 4:25 p.m. And I'm going to turn it over to Council Member Sobieski for a moment.
Just to announce that I'm here under taking care of the health of a family member on the East Coast. So I'm participating for that purpose. Here,
and is there anyone else in the room with you?
And I have one, and yes, there's one adult in the room.
What?
Do I identify that person? Or have, and I have one person in the room who will not be part of closed session, but for open session, she will be.
And what is the nature of that, your relationship with that person?
My partner.
And just to confirm, are you participating under the Just Cause exception under the Brown Act?
Yes.
Okay,
taking care of family.
Okay, and City Attorney, we don't need to make any findings on that, correct?
No, there is no requirement the council approve that participation.
All right, thank you. Okay, so first up on our agenda is closed session. We will be considering items.
We do roll call first?
Yes, please. Thank you, City Clerk.
Councilmember Blaustein.
Here.
Councilmember Hoffman.
Here.
Councilmember Sobieski.
Here.
Vice Mayor Woodside?
Here.
And Mayor Cox?
Here. City Clerk, do you have three or four items on closed?
We have, sorry, we have, let me see inside.
Okay, in the
future. We have three items on closed.
All right. So in the future, can someone provide me, because my packet
is when it was four items. Yeah.
So we will be considering items C1 through C3 in closed session. The first is conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation, one case. The second is conference with labor negotiator, government code section 54957.6, employee organization, Sausalito Police Association. And the third is conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, government code section 54956.9D1, Sullivan versus City of Sausalito. We will be considering item C1 last, and Councilmember Sobieski, did you want to make an announcement about that?
Yeah, this is one item for which the location of the property and the nature of the issue is such that my determination is it presents a potential financial conflict of interest, so I'll be recusing myself from that matter.
Thank you, Councilmember. With that, we will adjourn to closed session. We will reconvene to open session at
public comment?
Oh, is there a public comment?
There is none.
Okay, we will reconvene to open session at 5 p.m. Thank you. Regular meeting of the City of Sausalito. It's 5:05 p.m. I will ask the City Clerk to take roll.
Councilmember Blaustein.
Present.
Councilmember Hoffman.
Here.
Councilmember Sobieski.
Here.
Vice Mayor Woodside.
Here.
Mayor Cox?
Here. And Council Member Sobieski, could you please announce the manner in which you are participating in this evening's meeting?
I'm participating under taking care of the health of a family member on the East Coast. So participating under the Brown Act provisions for that purpose. There are no adults in the room currently, but at some point my partner may return to the room and she will be the only adult in the room if she does come back.
Thank you. And for the record, Councilmember Sobieski is participating pursuant to the Just Cause exception to the Brown Act. Okay, we will have the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we conducted a closed session. There are no closed session announcements. I'm going to seek approval of the agenda, but I'm going to ask that we move item 5, that we switch the order of items 5A and 5B. May I have a motion approving the amended agenda?
So moved.
Second. City Clerk.
Councilmember Blaustein.
Yes.
Councilmember Hoffman.
Yes.
Councilmember Sobieski.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Woodside.
Yes.
Mayor Cox.
Yes. That motion carries 5-0. First on our agenda this evening is a special presentation. We have limited time this evening, and so I'm going to ask our guests to keep this presentation brief, if you can.
Sounds good. Good evening, Mayor. I'm Kevin McGowan, Public Works Director for Sausalito. I'd like to introduce John Eberle from the Golden Gate Bridge Highway Transportation District. He and his team are going to review the Sausalito Ferry Terminal Replacement Project. So with that, I'll hand it off to John, and we can load up his presentation.
Okay. Are we ready? Good. Thank you. Again, good evening. My name is John Eberle. I'm the district engineer at the Golden Gate Bridge Highway and Transportation District. Thank you for having us here tonight. And I do understand we have a short amount of time, so I'll be brief. We're here to reintroduce you to the project that we've been working on for the past several years and ask for your authorization to allow City of Sausalito to co-sign the BCDC permit application that we're ready to submit. Next slide. So the agenda, just a brief overview summary of the project to remind everyone what the project is. Then we're going to go over the BCDC application itself, a little bit about construction activities, and then the proposed schedule that we have. Next slide. So summary of the project, we last came to the City Council in 2017. That's when we came to an agreement and the city approved the proposed project, and we did a memorandum of MOA for the project, including construction windows and a lot of the details of how the project will be constructed. Next slide. So here's an overview of the project. On the left of the slide is the existing facility, and the right is the proposed. The existing facility has call it a concrete dogleg, which is the access pier from the land side. There's an access gate at the interface of the wider concrete pier to the dogleg. That's the access point. And then it goes through a narrow concrete pier onto the steel float. The new proposed project will keep the land side pier, but we'll have a new access pier. It's a wider pier. You can see it's about 12 foot wide. And the access point is going to be moved. So it'll be moved from where it's closer to the shore out further toward where the gangway is going to be. And then there's a gangway. It's about 12 feet wide, 90 feet long. The slopes were flattened out for making it more accessible to the public. And then the float is a little bit larger also to comply with some ADA requirements. Next slide. So we did some rendering so you can see what the existing looks like and what the proposed looks like. So here's from the yacht club looking out. You can see with the new facility, the gangway is similar to the old one. It's just a little bit longer, but the profile is very similar. Next slide. Here's that access gate. So on the left is the existing steel access point. We're going to be moving that out. It's going to be clear glass. We took into account concerns about birds maybe potentially impacting that glass, and we're using special glass that they can see, and it'll minimize those impacts. Next slide. Here's looking at the existing gangway. It's about 6 feet wide. The new gangway will be about 12 feet wide. Next slide. And then the ticket vending machines. There's currently ticket vending machines you can see on the left slide, real close to where the access point is. We're going to remove one of those. So there'll just be one there. And then we're going to move two more ticket vending machines away by the kiosk. Next slide. So here you can see the existing kiosk in the plaza and the proposed location of where the new kiosk will be. Next slide. Then utilities. The landside project at the city of Sausalito is almost completed now. We coordinated with that project to put utilities that were going through the parking lot in already. So the trenching has already been done, and there's a box that's awaiting for the new utilities are going to be located. And you can see on the right-hand side, we have a transformer and some other utility equipment that will be located at that spot. Next slide. So with that, I want to turn it over to Eli Davidian. He's with ESA and is doing our permitting, and he'll be going over the BCDC application itself. Eli?
Good afternoon, everyone. Eli Davidian with Environmental Science Associates. As John mentioned, we're an environmental consultant supporting the district, and we prepared the BCDC permit application. I'll spend a few minutes just walking through the background behind the application, what's in it, and what we conclude. So next slide, please. One more slide, please. So first of all, why is a BCDC permit needed? Well, BCDC requires a permit for any development that involves work within its San Francisco Bay jurisdiction, so offshore, or for any development within 100 feet of the shore, so the shoreline band. As you can see in this image here, we have both. We have the terminal, which is offshore, and we have the ticket vending machines, which are within the 100-foot shoreline band. Next slide, please. So in reviewing a permit application, BCDC needs to make findings of consistency with its guiding statute and policies, some of which are shown here. We have the McAteer-Petras Act and the San Francisco Bay Plan. So some of the key priorities, policy priorities that BCDC will be looking to our project to confirm that they're for consistency are things like limiting bay fill, providing and promoting public access to the bay, preserving and enhancing views to and along the shoreline, and promoting efficient Bay Area transportation. So those are the standards against which it's going to evaluate the project to determine whether it can issue a permit. Next slide, please. So this would not be the first time that the city has sought approval from BCDC for development at this site. As shown in the slide, in 1990, the city sought and was issued Major Permit 8924, which authorized replacement of the pier, gate, gangway, quarry rock along the shore, and a number of other facilities, including ticket vending machines. And then similarly, in 1995, BCDC issued to both the district and the city Major Permit 9470, and that covered replacing the floating dock and access pier. And so there's precedent for this, and this application would not be a new permit. It would be an amendment to that Major Permit 9470, and it would authorize the developments that John just walked through. Just by way of background, the district did initiate this application process back in 2013. We've met with BCDC many times over the years, including more recently, to review these plans, and so this is not going to be a new project for them. Next slide, please. So what's in the application package? BCDC has a standard form and it requests certain types of standard information, much of which is shown here, including property ownership, project description information, site information, and then getting into some of those policy areas for consistency. You know, what kind of fill is proposed? What are the implications of the fill? Is there development within the shoreline band? What are the implications of that development on bay resources? And then similarly with public access. So the application package includes the description of these features and an analysis of consistency with BCDC's policy priorities. Next slide, please. And so just in sum, based on the analysis that our firm ESA has done, looking at the project's consistency with these guiding policies and principles, we've concluded that the project is consistent with the McAteer-Petras Act and the San Francisco Bay Plan. It avoids or minimizes impacts related to fill, impacts on the bay resources and public access. And then lastly, it incorporates and references the CEQA mitigation and other anticipated permit requirements. And with that, I will hand it back to John to conclude with construction information. Thank you.
Next slide, please. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, construction activities. The majority of the work is either going to be done offsite. The float will be constructed offsite and then float brought in on a barge, or it will be done off of barges in the water itself. So there's going to be pile installations that we spoke about. There will be no pile driving, but the piles will be drilled and or vibrated into place. And we've worked with the city and also the regulatory agencies on work windows. So with environmental work windows, pile in water work is limited to June through November. The city requested that we not work during the months of July and August and September. So that's going to be restricted. So it'll just be June, October, November. In addition to the pile driving, we also worked on deliveries and minimizing the impacts to the parking lot. So there will be deliveries coming in from the land side, but they'll be minimized based on certain items that can only be or can't be brought on barges. So for instance, we're going to pour some concrete into piles. So concrete trucks won't be able to go on a barge. They'll be coming on land. There'll be a pump, and the pump will then pump it into the concrete, into the piles. Next slide. Some other impacts in the parking lot. As I showed before, with the landside improvement project, a lot of utilities were put in, but they were stubbed into locations close proximity to where we're going to be working. So adjacent to the existing pier, there's some junction boxes that you can see out there. We'll have to do some trenching and some minor concrete work there. And also on the other side of the parking lot where the new PG&E transformer is located, there'll be some minor trenching work there. Next slide. So project schedule, we're anticipating it'll take about 2.5 years to construct the project. That's due to the work windows. There'll be a temporary facility that will be constructed first that will allow us to then remove the existing pier to build that pier in place, allow the new pier to be constructed and the new float to be brought in, and then the temporary facility will be removed. So next slide. So you can see here a schedule. This would be anticipating, let's say, advertising at the beginning of 2026, and the construction would last through about the middle of 2028.
Just a comment that if Marin TD and the public is like me, we're not seeing the slides. We're only seeing the gentleman at the podium.
And may I ask you, Mr. Eberle, we don't have this presentation attached to our agenda. Have you provided this to the city clerk?
Yes, I have.
City clerk, can you attach this presentation to our agenda? Thank you.
And next slide. I apologize if you did not have that attached earlier. So that's the end of the presentation at this time. Any questions you may have?
Thank you for that. I was really curious to see the significant BCDC work because BCDC weighed in significantly on this project while the city and Golden Gate Bridge District were debating the scope, size and scope of this project, including imposing conditions of approval back in 2017. So I'm very curious that you have all this additional work being done by your consultant to seek BCDC approval. It was my understanding that the project as enunciated had already met the then existing commission's requirements.
The initial BCDC application was before we came to the final agreement with the city, at which time then we went to finalize the design. And so going through finalizing the design features, we had to redo the BCDC application. And
guys, I can't hear him when you are speaking, so sorry about that. That's a malady of mine.
We had to redo the BCDC application, and then we came into a resource and timing issue at the district itself, and we never submitted that application again to BCDC. So that's why we have reinitiated the project recently, and so now we have to resubmit that application.
So has the design changed significantly since the memorandum of agreement was entered into between the city and Golden Gate Bridge District in 2017?
No, it has not. That the agreement matches, the design matches what the agreement was.
Okay. And then thank you for the information about the concrete trucks and the backhoes. We are right now getting ready to approve a resurfacing of Lot 1. What impact, if any, will the 40 trucks of cement have on a newly resurfaced parking lot?
It's depending upon what the section is that is being installed in the parking lot, it may or may not have an impact on it. So any impacts that we do cause to the new surfacing, we would replace.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the presentation and the time. I just would like to get a better understanding of the impact on ferry commuters and what that's going to look like and what that will mean for residents in terms of how we access the ferry, those kinds of things.
So I don't have a slide of that, but we are going to be constructing a temporary facility. So the temporary facility will be just to the south of the existing facility. And the idea is to always allow some sort of ferry operations. We are going to be reusing the existing float. So there will be a period of time where we have to detach that existing float and move it over to the new location. So during that period of time, ferry service will not be in operation, but we anticipate that to be a short, very short duration, after which there'll be service at the new location.
And will Golden Gate Transit increase bus service on those days? To
we'll have a bus bridge.
Right. Yes. Thank you.
Council Member Hoffman and then Vice Mayor Woodside.
Thank you. This is a question for our Public Works Director, Kevin McGowan. I had, when I saw this on the, thank you, Jim, for the presentation. And I do reiterate and ask that the presentation be attached to the agenda. So that was very helpful. So thank you for that. With regard to our Public Works Director, I had requested that our Public Works confirm that the design that was included in our consent calendar, item 3.H, which is the adopt a resolution authorizing the city manager to sign the BCDC development district permit application, that permit application and the resolution actually call out the exact design parameters that were subject to the 2017 agreement between Sausalito and the bridge district. And then I asked our Public Works Director to confirm that they were in fact the same design that's now before BCDC, or that you're presenting to BCD was what we confirmed. So I asked our Public Works Director to confirm that. And Kevin, have you had time to do that?
I took a look at the original documentation from October 10th, 2017, which was brought to the council, examining the plan, but I didn't examine the conditions in the MOU or the whatever document they used at that point in time. So I might need a little bit more time to look at the specifics.
So thank you for that, Kevin. I appreciate that. So I think that's important that we understand that those two things match, and that the resolution, as I see it, that's attached to item 3H on our agenda does not match the resolution that we approved in 2017. I believe that was October something. It was October 17th or something like that of 2017 when we approved the resolution. So those two resolutions should match, and the reference approval for the design should also match. And I'll note that the attachment in 3H of our consent calendar was, I think your permit application for BCDC was something like 79 pages. So it was a lengthy design. So I don't doubt that Kevin didn't have time to match it correctly, but just to make sure and confirm that it was the design that we approved. And I'm just confirming, right? So thank you.
We have confirmed that it is, but we will work with the Public Works Director to make sure he's comfortable that everything matches.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for being here this evening. Oh, I'm sorry. Vice Mayor Woodside, go ahead.
Yeah, very, very quickly. Councilmember Hoffman anticipated my first question. And my second one is simply, as I understood the agreement from back in 2017 in the design, not only does this strengthen and make more reliable the landing itself, but it also might permit a wider variety of vessels to utilize it going forward in future years and have loading ramps that can adjust in a more adroit manner to accommodate different deck types, et cetera. Am I understanding that correctly, or is it?
That's correct. The facility, the float facility, has articulating gang planks, which could accommodate the different vessels that the district has. The district has seven vessels, and they're all a little bit different, but it also provides a landing spot for other ferry service if they so happen to use the facility, that they could lay up and disembark and embark on a platform.
And the last question is the pier itself, is it wider than the existing pier?
The new pier will be wider than the existing pier. The existing pier, with that dog leg that was shown, sorry, I apologize that you don't have that attachment, but it is, the new pier is about 21 feet wide, and the existing, I want to say, it varies from probably 8 to 10 feet wide.
So, for example, as people line up, there'll be more room for people as well as bicycles on the pier itself?
That's correct. It'll allow to take the people off of the land side and bring them out onto the water so the queuing doesn't go into the parking lot itself.
Thank you.
Councilmember Sobieski.
Thanks, Mayor. My narrow question, sir, is you have that image right there. That's the one I had a question about. The access pier, is the gate on the left-hand side of the access pier or the right-hand side where it connects to the 90 by 12-foot gangway?
If you see where the arrow on the right side proposed, it says access pier and it's pointing to right there. So it's at that interface right there where the new gate will be located.
So about halfway down the dock?
It'll be all the way down at the end where just before it transitions to the gangway.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
All right. We'll now move on to communications. This is the time for the City Council to hear from citizens regarding matters within the jurisdiction of the City Council that are not on the agenda, except in very limited situations. State law precludes the City Council from taking action on or engaging in discussions concerning items that are not on the agenda. The first speaker I have is John Flavin. Welcome.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, fellow City Council members, you need to order an independent audit investigation into the city's finances. One of you announced at the end of the July 1st session that he had found such an audit to be inappropriate under the circumstances. He was wrong, because the circumstances clearly justify an investigation. As reported in the Marin IJ, the city's former finance director was abruptly terminated, and the city refused to say why. That event alone warrants an investigation. But there's more. There were significant irregularities in the 2025-2026 budget. Failure to include over $1.8 million of projected repairs and maintenance to city properties for 2025-2026, according to a third-party report commissioned by the city itself. Concerns over the covering of budget shortfalls by transfers from the Martin Luther King and parking lot enterprise funds. There are some critical transparency issues. How much is the city paying for insurance, and what is the structure? You know these numbers and structure will be punitive given the city's track record, but there's no full disclosure, only a one-line item budget number of $1,350,000, which was at the very low end of projected revenues back in 2024. Projected expenses, excuse me. Why not order a forensic investigation? Cost? Well, stop funding unnecessary projects and forgiving payment obligations and restore the community's trust in your management of the city's finances. Transparency is the way to go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alice Merrill.
Hi. I want to 100,000 times reiterate what he just said. Please pretend that I'm a large part of the city, because if people were paying attention, they would be asking this. And a review of what's it called, a finance deep dive, is a good idea. We have lots of people who are concerned. Please do it. Second, I know that you guys are going to disagree with me, but I have the distinct impression that when I come up and talk, that there's a lot of ho-hum, oh, it's just her usual. And I am a resident here. I love this town. I think that the residents need to be addressed, listened to. All these things that are on the agenda this time, when did they... You know, who knows? Why weren't they talked about 2 months ago so that people could discuss it, understand what this stuff is? I really am discouraged that there's just so little transparency right now in this town with everything. And right now we're going to be talking about streets. I'll be up here again because nobody knows that this is coming up and is going to be voted on tonight, most likely. Nobody knows. I walked my street today. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Sunshine.
Good evening, everybody. Well, once again, I'm here reminding people that it was January 15th that I was asked to leave the HUD housing due to a manager that was cruel, evil, and asked four handicapped women, three of us being 80 plus years old, and one being 70. I was told that somehow I would get some help. There's nothing. I've been to places that say, oh yes, come, you can live here. Where's your Section 8? Please give that to me. I don't have a Section 8. I was in a federally funded project. So I'm asking for help one more time. I'm not a resident in Sausalito at this point, but I want to become one again. I don't know why, because it's been a terrible experience. And I'm really happy that I've been healing. And you probably saw I came in with a walker at one time. Now I'm walking in by myself. I've healed myself, but I want the support of the people in Sausalito, City Council, whoever else, to be able to help me find a place, find that loophole to get me a Section 8, because I could move into a place right away if I had my emergency Section 8. I hear that HUD is giving out Section 8s to the illegal immigrants. Why not me? Do I have to be an illegal immigrant to get a Section 8? So my parents were immigrants, but they came in and they did what the way they were supposed to. And I'm a first generation American. But the way I'm being treated...
Thank you. For the future, I went ahead and allowed you to speak your 2 minutes, but for the future, I would like to point out that Section 8 vouchers are not within the jurisdiction of the city. The city can do nothing about the issuance of Section 8 vouchers. So in the future, when you communicate with us, I would appreciate it if you confine it to matters that are within the jurisdiction of the city of Sausalito. And I'll call next on Adrian Brinton.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my comment. I just wanted to say that I've noticed a real difference in the conversation in City Council since the new City Council was seated. And we've spent, it seems, a lot more time actually looking forward at what this city could be and less time looking back and rehashing over the different things that have happened and going back and asking for re-evaluations of past projects, re-evaluations of past budgets, of all these different things. All the information is out there. If people feel inclined to go back and look at things, you know, the information's there. The transparency is challenging because of the amount of information, and it can be confusing, but confusion does not equal lack of transparency. So if you want to understand what's happening with the budgets or what's happening with the staff, you know, that information is there and it's possible to find out. And the transparency, I just don't find as lacking as perhaps some do in this town. So I just wanted to say thank you for looking forward. This place is amazing. We can make it, you know, we can take the things that will enhance our community and we can do them, you know, or we can stop and we can kind of spin our wheels and keep doing what we've done in the past pretty effectively. I think after the election, we've seen most people in town don't want to do that anymore. They want to look forward and they want to actually see cool, great things happen, see the artistic heart of this community revived again. You know, doing all the stuff that rehashes things just, you know, it just kills that stuff. And let's not do that. Thank you.
Thank you. City Clerk.
We have Babette McDougall.
Welcome, Babette.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for the vigorous questioning on the BCDC presentation. Really appreciated the clarity that it brought forward. So just, you know, it seems like we're on a roll here, but you know, the funny thing is I was actually planning to say this anyway. I think it's time for us to form an alternative to the positive people of Sausalito. And I'm thinking about how those of us that have been here long enough must have done something right. Otherwise, you wouldn't have fallen in love and wanted to move here in the first place, right? So I'm going to say, how do we keep Sausalito salty? And I'm sure we all have our idea. And I think we should call ourselves the Salties. So we got the positives, who tend to be kind of in your face and negative, I'm finding. And then we're going to have the Salties, who actually really do want to see the character of Sausalito preserved going forward. And with that in mind, I just wonder, since I don't see you offering public input on future agenda items lately, that's probably the late hour, what in the world about this list of future agenda items? Seems to me like it's like the hourglass. It's time to turn it upside down and invert it. Your most pressing priorities are at the end of the list. And there's nothing on that list that speaks to Stephanie Moulton Peters in the presentation she made earlier this year, outlining the imminent arrival of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission and the Tier 4 regional transit hub that's on its way. And is that part of the housing element, or is that going to be on top of the housing element? Don't you think it's time we start daylighting this to the people of Sausalito? Nobody knows about this. Thank you so much. I yield back my time.
City Clerk.
Scott Thornburg.
Good evening, Council. Thank you so much for your time tonight, and thank you for your service to the city of Sausalito. These are a lot of really big topics tonight, and I really appreciate the time that you spend with us to hear from your citizens and to evaluate the concerns and try to come up with a really hard decision each meeting. Tonight, I just want to flag to you that I am dialing in from my home, and I have the great fortune of being able to be remote and work from home, but many people that are working residents do not have that luxury. And right now it is commute hour for them. And I'm really concerned about this shift in time. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to meet all schedules, but I do fear that by moving the meeting up to the time when many of our citizens are commuting home, that we may not hear from our working citizens or our young families that are home taking care of children, and who you actually hear from tonight in person. During these meetings, will frankly be the people that have available time on their hands to show up. And I'm really concerned that you're not going to hear from the actual populace of Sausalito on issues that matter, like housing, like what the downtown looks like. So I'm not recommending that you change the time back, but I just want to encourage you to please do your best to hear from all residents. And I know you do. So I just would like to gently remind you to do that again and take into consideration that you may not be hearing from a full represented group here tonight on every issue. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. City Clerk.
No further public comment.
All right. Mayor, since I was alluded to, I feel like I just do want to take the privilege of the allowance to respond briefly.
So I'm sorry. We do not respond to the...
Just as you did with Sunshine. Just very briefly, if I might just say, the city manager gives of his time all the time. Anyone who has a question about our finances, he always accepts a sit down. He's gone through them.
I'm sorry, we cannot address communications because they're not on our agenda. So perhaps you can raise this during future agenda items as something to be discussed.
Okay. And it just says that something.
We're going to take a 5 minutes, Joe. We're going to take a 5 minute break and then we will resume with our consent calendar. Thank you. Brown Act requires that we have at least a quorum of our city council members in a single location within the jurisdiction in order to proceed with our city council meeting. One of our council members has just had to leave ill, and so we no longer have a quorum of council members in a single location here in Sausalito. And so for that reason, we are going to have to adjourn this evening's meeting. We are going to adjourn it to a date certain, which is July 22nd. And so we will resume everything on our calendar this evening. We will adjourn to and resume on July 22, 2025 at 5 p.m. That's not to say that we won't also add additional items, but for now, every item that was going to be considered this evening will instead be considered on July 22, 2029 at 5 p.m. Thank you for your understanding and apologies for this very unusual anomaly that does not allow us to proceed as planned this evening. And with that, I will adjourn this meeting at 5:50 p.m.